Hi, I'm Julie Mackin, and this is the 5-Minute Advocate. Last week, my colleague, Michael Walker, raised some questions that have plagued me all week, and a big shout out. Thanks very much for that, Michael. I'm sure you remember, Michael was outlining the outrageous cost of the AUKUS submarine program, a cost that will come close to $400 billion before these submarines even get in the water. He then went to look at what kind of things that money could buy. And what he found was that could buy us 1.5 million public housing homes, which would house about 3 million Australians. It could build a high-speed train line up and down the entire east coast of Australia from Melbourne to Brisbane and the interior, with all the multiple goods that would flow on from that. All the while, he was making the point that both the Coalition and Labor had decided it was more important to have a few submarines that were designed wholly and solely to attack China than it is to ensure we all have safe, affordable and beautiful housing or a public transport system fit for a climate-impacted century. So this is the honest, brutal political calculus made by both major parties when it comes to deciding what they are going to do with our money. But what's really plagued me all week was a question that follows those revelations, which is, why do we let them get away with that? Particularly when polling after polling and chat after chat makes it clear that these are not our priorities as a nation. These are not our values. And here I'm referring to recent polling by Essential Media that found only 1 in 5, 20% of Australians think that Australia should primarily be an ally of the US, which would justify the expense of the AUKUS. One quarter of Australians said Australia should do its best not to engage in world affairs. Even those warmongers at the Australia Strategic Policy Institute, or ASPI, and I call them warmongers because ASPI is funded by defence and weaponry, you know, builders, manufacturers. Anyway, even the warmongers are concerned about the collapse of support for AUKUS, though they, of course, frame it as, and here I'm quoting, a raucous coalition of isolationists, pacifists and anti-nuclear campaigners who have coalesced against the agreement. So back to my conundrum, how do they get away with making such a radical decision that obliterates any hope at all of real nation-building projects like homes and transport or, dare I say, regional peace-building? How do they get away with it? Well, there are probably hundreds of answers to that question, but today I want to suggest that the two-party system in Australia does not serve us well anymore. Unlike in the past, where there were very real policy and value differences between both the major parties, this is no longer the case. In fact, a lot of the time, it looks like both Labor and the Coalition are performing difference to hide sameness of their policies. And the big ticket items make that clear. There's not a cigarette paper between them on AUKUS, on the treatment of refugees, on climate change adaptation, on American sovereignty in Australia, defence and intelligence, and on the economics. That might seem like a stretch, but let's imagine and remember what has been possible when differences existed between the major parties. We've got to go back a long time. We've got to go back to the 1970s when it was a Labor government that introduced free university, that introduced universal health coverage, introduced the pharmaceutical benefit scheme that has guaranteed we did not go down the path of our American friends where the price of medicine can lead to homelessness. It was the Labor government that reached out to China, that recognised women needed our own department and that single women, mums, needed financial support. They also recognised there was no point in dragging out the often violent end to a marriage and brought in no-fault divorce. These are all things that have absolutely changed us as a nation. This is what difference in policy settings can do. This is what is possible when we imagine doing things that need doing and doing it differently. It is time for greater ambition in what is possible for us and our country if we make community welfare, the well-being of the community, the central concern for government in the way that was clearly possible back in the 1970s. We need difference in politics, no longer just the two-party preferred working in lockstep with each other.